3:1-5. The King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. 342, we'll stand as we sing. Let us sing it out with all of our hearts. Just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Let us pray for God's presence and blessing among us tonight, that we might know his speaking voice to our hearts. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence, O God, tonight, and we come through the Saviour's name, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, the one who loved us, the one who is indeed the good shepherd, who giveth his life for the sheep. And Father, we thank thee for Christ, the Son of God, who was without sin, who was without spot. We thank thee, Father, that he came and he gave his life a ransom for us upon the cross. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that he paid the penalty of our sin in full. And Lord, thy word tells us that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, we thank thee that thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, as a result, O God, of thy great love, Christ came. And Father, we thank that he died for us, and that he rose again victorious, and that he is alive forevermore. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight that Christ is seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory. And there he ever lives as our great high priest to intercede for the people of God. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight in thy so great salvation. We rejoice as thy people in the joy and the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank thee, O God, for all thy mercies to us. We thank thee for pardon, for sin, for peace that endureth, and thine own dear presence, O God, to cheer and to guide. We thank thee for the words of this hymn that we've been singing. Lord, we confess there was a time when we were afar away from God, afar off from thee, in thy path meadows, astray from God. Yet, O God, we thank thee that in thy mercy thou didst search us out, thou didst seek after us, and thou didst not leave us, O God, to ourselves or to our sin. But, Father, we thank thee that in loving kindness and in tender mercy, that thou didst save us and thou didst draw us to thyself for salvation. And Father, we thank that it is because of thy grace that we're found here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. And Lord, our faces differ, so do our needs. Yet, O God, we're coming to thee tonight, poor and needy, empty of ourselves. Yet, O God, we thank thee that our every need is met, O God, by thee through Christ. And Father, we pray for the blessing of God to be our portion tonight, O God. We pray for a gracious sense, Lord, of thy presence. O God, our Father, outpour thy Spirit upon us. Do cleanse our hearts afresh, and the Savior's blood cleanse us from all sin. And Lord, prepare our hearts this night to meet with thee. Help us to worship thee, and help us, Lord, to seek thee. For Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that if we seek thee and search for thee with all our hearts, thou hast said that thou shalt be found of us. And Lord, we thank thee tonight that thou hast assured us in the word of God that it is no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. We thank thee for all who have been able to gather tonight. Bless us, each one. Bless us around thy precious word. Lord, we pray that thou would have a word in season for us, that thou, Lord, will speak to our hearts. And Lord, bless us at the throne of grace and prayer. Help us to pray, O God. Pour upon us the spirit of grace, of prayer, of supplication. Lord, we come to thee like the disciples of old, and we would say, Lord, teach us to pray, and grant us even tonight a gracious reviving from the presence of the Lord, and that we might go home rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard thy voice, that we've been blessed through this time of prayer and gathering around thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee for that great promise of Christ, when he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Remember, Lord, those unable to join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. Do bless them, Lord. Do minister to them by the grace and by the power of God. For others that are led aside in hospital tonight, touch them and strengthen them. And others have suffered loss in recent times. We pray that they will know the comforting hand of the Lord to be their portion, we ask. For those who would listen in tonight online, whoever they are, wherever they might be found, Lord, bless them and speak to them, Lord, from thy word, and have a word in season for their hearts, we pray. And Father, we pray, O God, for the word already tonight to the boys and girls in Tresna. And Lord, may that word bring forth much fruit in these young lives, even in these final weeks of this spring term. May there be boys and girls who are blessed of God with salvation, and those who are saved, may they be led on in their Christian life and strengthened in the ways of God, we ask. Remember our land, O God, tonight for good. We think of gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time, and wherever thy word would be faithfully preached and proclaimed, O God, we pray that thou wilt bless it. And Father, we pray that thou wilt visit our land, O God, with revival blessing, even as in former times. We thank thee for the promise of thy word that thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We thank the Lord that thou hast promised in thy word that thou art able to give us much more than this. Father, we thank thee for the blessings of God in the past. But Lord, this Lord would encourage us to come afresh to thee, to seek thee, Lord, even for greater blessings in our day and in our generation, we pray. Bless us to this end, we pray. Abide with us, do our hearts good. And Lord, glorify the Savior in all that will be said and done tonight. For it is in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in the Word of God to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Continue on with our studies in this book. We're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and reading just from verse 5 of the chapter down to the end. While you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each one gathered with us. And we pray the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, the children's meeting here at 6:30. Youth fellowship meeting at 8 p.m. And then the services here in the Lord's Day Sunday School and Bible class at 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7. Our sister Hannah Armstrong from our Dungannon Church will be with us to sing in the evening meeting. And then also do remember the special meeting in the afternoon with the Royal Arch Purple coming here for their annual service, the county service. So pray for that especially. God's blessing would be known and help would be given in the ministry of the gospel. And even those who may come in unsaved may come to know and to trust the Lord as their own and personal Savior. God willing, we'll be ministering at all these meetings. Turning in God's Word to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And beginning a reading at the verse number 5 of the chapter. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, and from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 10. And may the Lord add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Now, in our last study here in this opening chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we looked at Paul's prayer of thanksgiving for the Christians in the church at Thessalonica. And that prayer really highlighted important characteristics that the Lord desires, indeed the Lord wills, for every church. There was the characteristic of faith, of love, and of patience. Well, here in verses 5 through to verse 10, the end of the chapter, Paul goes on and he really tells here of the impact that the gospel had upon these people. So you see, this church had come into being through the preaching of the gospel, and later it was a church that proclaimed the gospel. Look at the beginning there of verse number 5 of the chapter. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." And here Paul tells of how God blessed the gospel message to the hearts of these people. And we see that it was accompanied, he says, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And people, that reminds us of the power of the gospel when God's blessing is upon it. And that is a power that we should never lose sight of. And it is a power that we should never underestimate as God's people. You think again of words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, as he speaks there about the gospel. He says these words. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And in that little phrase there, the power of God, it is from that little phrase that we get our English word dynamite. And really Paul there is saying that the gospel has dynamic power when God's blessing is upon it. My, there is great blessing that flows to the hearts and lives of peoples and communities and countries to the gospel. And we should never lose sight of the power of the gospel. And then at the end of verse number 5 there of this chapter, you'll see that Paul goes on and he says, "And ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." And that really means that Paul and his fellow laborers, they lived out the gospel. They lived out the word of God in their lives. And the same applies to all of us who are saved by the grace of God. Think of the words of the psalmist. Speaking of God's word, in Psalm 119, he could say, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And how important it is that we live out the word of God. And then in verses 6 through to verse 8 of this chapter, we see here that upon hearing God's word, this church, they went on to spread God's word. And really, Paul here commends them for this. In verses 6, 7, and 8, he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." And how they were a people who received the word of God, but they just didn't keep it for themselves. They were people also who went on to spread forth and sound forth the word of God. And people, this is an example for us all to follow as a church. The Bible says we're to be always holding forth the word of life. And why, this is one of the chief purposes for our existence as a church, as a body of God's people. It is to sound forth the word of God, sound forth the word of life. Then in the final verses of this chapter, verses 9 and 10, we see there how Paul outlines the marks of conversion in the life of these Christians. And here we see further the impact of the gospel upon the individual lives of these believers here in this church at Thessalonica. And it is those marks of conversion that we have outlined for us here in these final two verses that I want us to look at and consider even in our Bible study this evening. You'll notice, first of all, here with me that their conversion, it meant a turning from idolatry. And you see that from what he says there in verse number 9 of the chapter. He says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols." And then this was true repentance. There was a forsaking here of idol worship, a man's false gods. Now the second commandment of God is the commandment that forbids all idol worship. Turn back to Exodus chapter number 20, that chapter where we have the Ten Commandments outlined for us. Exodus chapter number 20. And here we have the second commandment in verses 4 and 5 of the chapter. And by the way, the second commandment is omitted from the Roman Catholic Catechism. That's how it gets around this whole matter of idol worship. And to get their ten commandments, they divide the last commandment, number 10, into two commandments. But here we have the second commandment, Exodus 20, verses 4 and 5. God says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And there we see clearly how God forbids the worship of idols, even images of Christ and the things of God, the things even of heaven itself. And whenever we think about this, it's important to remember that the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church are churches that are full of idol worship. And my, this is one of the major reasons why God's people are to separate from the ecumenical churches, because the overriding aim of the ecumenical movement is union with the Church of Rome. And the Roman Catholic Church is a church to this very day that is steeped in pagan idolatry. And by the Lord's command to us as believers is one of separation from false worship. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." But as well as separation from the idols of wood and of stone or other materials that men used to make idols, this example here of the believers in Thessalonica also warns us as believers in Christ to be on our guard against other forms of idolatry as well that can even creep in to the life of the Christian. You think of the words of the Apostle John at the end of his first epistle, chapter 5, and he's writing there to Christians, to those who are saved, to those who have trusted the Lord, and he ends that epistle with these words. He says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And there he warns God's people of this very fact, to be on their guard against idols in their life as believers. And an idol in our life can be anything or anyone that we as believers put before the Lord. Yes, that idol can be our work. It can be our career. It can be our position in society. It can be our home, our family, our car. It can be sport. It can be music. It can be the applause of men, and the list really can go on. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in all these things, in our everyday life, the important thing is this: we are to put the Lord first. God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And His word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Of God. How are to put the Lord first in our lives as believers? Yes, child of God, you and I must ever have the spirit of the hymn writer, William Cowper. Remember the words that he penned in that well-known hymn, "Oh, for a closer walk with God." He says, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Yes, the conversion of these people meant a turning away from the idols of men. Not only was there a turning away from the idols of men, you see secondly here tonight that their conversion meant serving. Serving the living and the true God. Look at what Paul goes on to say there in verse number 9. He says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that ye," notice it, "turn to God from idols." Notice the next words, "to serve the living and the true God." Forsaking the false idols and gods of men and the false idols of self. Here were a people in their conversion, and they embraced the true and the living God of heaven. And that embracing of God, it meant them serving God. And the living and the true God of heaven was now the new master in their life. The meaning of that word "serve" there literally means a bond slave. They were now bond slaves to the Lord. The Lord was the master, the king, the Lord of their life. He was the one, as it were, reigning upon the throne of their heart. And child of God, yes, this is the Lord's purpose for all of us whenever we are saved. Yes, we are saved to serve the Lord God of heaven, the one true and living God. When converted, we are to no longer live for self or sin or the world or the things of this ungodly age or the ways of the devil. Rather, we are to live for God, for God's honor, for God's glory. That's one of the great purposes of our conversion to Christ. Turn back there to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. And look with me, please, there at at verse number 12. And here the Lord is speaking through Moses to God's ancient people Israel and applies to us as believers in Christ equally. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 12, "And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him," and notice it, "and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul." This is how it was with these believers in Thessalonica when they were saved. They turned away from the false idols and false religions of men, and they turned to the one true and living God to serve the living and the true God of heaven. And brethren and sisters in Christ, that's ever to be our goal in life as believers as well, to serve the living and the true God. What does this service involve? Well, it involves us worshipping the Lord. The psalmist says, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." When we've got health and strength and freedom and liberty, yes, we're to join together with God's people for public worship. Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening, how vital that is. Also, we're to worship the Lord daily in our homes and our private lives through prayer and the reading of the Scriptures and seeking God and calling upon God and even singing the praises of the Lord. Also, we are to serve the Lord. It means us obeying the Lord. It means us yielding to His will and doing what we can as Christians to help God's church on earth and to do what we can in this scene of time to see the kingdom of God extended here on earth. Remember the words of Paul to the believers in the city of Rome. He says, "Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead." Yes, to serve the Lord means to worship the Lord, means to obey the Lord, to yield to the Lord and His word and His will and ways for our lives. And in serving the Lord, the true and the living God, we're to do so willingly. We're to do so gladly. We're to do so joyfully and cheerfully. Remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 100, verse 2. It says there, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And this was so here with these Christians in Thessalonica. For notice what Paul says about them there in verse number 6. Even though there was persecution, even though there was tribulation, they served the Lord joyfully and gladly. For it says there at the end of verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word," notice it, "in much affliction." It cost them to be a Christian, to turn from the idols of men and to follow the Lord. But it says, they received the word in much affliction. It says, with joy in the Holy Ghost. They served the Lord joyfully and gladly. They gladly took up the cross to follow after Christ and to serve the Lord. Yes, their conversion meant them turning away from the idols of men. Meant them serving the living and the true God. Notice one final thing here tonight. Their conversion also meant a looking forward. A looking forward to the Lord's return. Look at the final verse of the chapter, verse 10. "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Notice there, they were delivered from the wrath to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, because of God's saving grace, this people were saved, delivered from the wrath to come. They were delivered from a lost eternity in hell, and they could look forward with great hope to the return of Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again. And child of God, this is your portion in Christ as well. Dear believer tonight, brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I, we've been saved, it says, are delivered, notice it, from the wrath to come. Believer, through Christ, you've been delivered from the wrath to come. You've been delivered from the judgment of a lost eternity in hell itself. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that is in Christ Jesus." Believer in Christ, this is your present position. No condemnation in Christ, and
believer in Christ, this will always be your possession in Christ. No condemnation for the believer, for the child of God, delivered, saved from the wrath to come.
Turn over there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse number 9. Notice again how Paul homes in on this truth that they were saved from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, he says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Saved from the wrath to come. Believer, this is your portion in Christ. And being saved from the wrath to come, you and I can look forward to the return of Christ. The ungodly cannot look forward to the return of Christ. In fact, the Bible says when Christ returns, for the ungodly, it'll be a time of great fear, great consternation. The ungodly will even cry out to the rocks and to the hills to hide themselves from the Lamb, from the wrath of the Lamb when Christ returns. But for the believer, but for the church of Christ, it is a blessed hope. It is a glorious hope to look forward to the return of Christ, our Savior. Yes, none of us know the exact moment when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. But he is coming back again. In Matthew 24, the Lord says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And when he returns, the Bible tells us how the dead in Christ shall rise first. All the saints of God who have died will be raised back to life. That their bodies will be made immortal, incorruptible, perfect, free from sin, like unto Christ. And also at the return of Christ, the bodies of the living saints will be changed. The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and their bodies too will be made immortal, incorruptible, perfect, like Christ, their Savior, their Redeemer. Turn in your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you'll see this for yourself, just from the Word of God, the great resurrection chapter, and how it all encourages the believer to look forward to the coming of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. Paul says, "But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Every believer will be changed perfect when Christ returns in a moment. Notice it. In the twinkling of an eye. Think of how quick it is for your eye to twinkle. Something really we can't even see really with our eyes. It happens that quick. But here we're told in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. What a change that will be. And then the Bible shows us that the resurrected believers and the living believers shall be gathered unto Christ in the glory of heaven, where there shall be no more death, no more sin, no more curse that is associated with this sinful, fallen world. Turn back again there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at the final verses of that chapter, words that we often read at the gravesite of a departed believer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This was the portion of these believers here in Thessalonica through Christ. They'd been saved from the wrath to come, and they had a glorious hope. And we read of them here waiting for God's Son from heaven. They were looking forward in faith, looking forward in anticipation to the return of Christ, their Savior and power and in great glory. And child of God, believer, this is your hope tonight as well. This is our comfort. In this ungodly word, because of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, because He saved us from the wrath to come, you and I can look forward to the coming again of Christ. Oh, let us daily thank God for this glorious hope that we have in Christ. As believers, yes, let us daily live in the light of Christ's return. Let us live as we had won Christ to find us living, when He will most surely come again in power and in great glory. And my daily, let us pray and do all we can so that others too be of this same great hope, for them coming to know Christ and to rest upon Christ and to trust Him as Savior. May the Lord bless His word and these few remarks just to our hearts and to our souls tonight. We'll turn again, please, to our hymn book just before we get down to prayer. We'll turn to the hymn number 657. 657. It's really a prayer. We've been looking tonight at these believers in Thessalonica, how they sought the Lord and lived for the Lord and served Him. And oh, may this be our burden as well. The hymn writer says, King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. 657, we'll stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Well, we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Just a few prayer requests. Do you remember the services over the weekend? Pray for them. Pray we'll know God's blessing and help and presence, and that unsaved would be gathered in the services on the Lord's Day. Remember the children's meeting and the youth meeting as well. And pray that God would bless His word in the Sunday school and in Bible class to the children and to the young people. Do please remember the sick in your prayers as well, connected with us. Our sister Lily Parkinson, who's still in hospital, although she is improving, so just pray for her. The Lord would lay on His healing touch upon her, and others who need a touch from the Lord at this time, that they know that strength from the Lord. Remember those that mourn and grieve. Our sister, Mrs. Ina Miller, lost her brother-in-law there just at the weekend, so do pray for the Miller family, that they know God's comfort and grace. Do you remember also the Gott family as well, in that family circle, and their bereavement. And remember also Harold Wilson's mother as well is unwell at this time, and just remember the family there and the needs concerned. Do remember our missionaries as well at home and abroad. Maybe you could remember the Smith family as they labour there in Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales faithfully for many years, and pray the Lord will bless them and encourage them. And do pray for Nolan Collin as well over in the Isle of Man for a week's outreach and then a week of gospel meetings in the little church there in Port Erin down in the south of the island. So pray for that, and that people would come in there, and that souls would be saved. But encourage as many as possible to pray, and whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, as the Lord leads, encourage as many as possible to pray right through to about 20-25 past nine or so. Let us use the time and seek the Lord and call upon His name. Well, maybe ask our brother, the Reverend Marley Power, to lead us off in prayer. And then also maybe our brother Stanley Charters, and then one after the other as the Lord would lead. Brother Reverend Power, and then our brother Stanley, please. Thank you.